is Education Matters, and our ongoing theme is to hold conversations with those of us who are being kind, practicing peace, and being there for one another, especially right now, taking on the challenges of the pandemic. So we interview people who are making a difference, who are really heroic in their efforts to help everyone in throughout southeastern Wisconsin. And today we're very fortunate to hear from Jack Rose, longtime president and spokesperson for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. And this is Jack's 20th year, and we're so fortunate to have you, Jack. First, thank you for all that you do, and thank you for being an integral part of our program today as we discuss mental health issues and mental wellness during this very challenging time. So, Jack, thank you so much. With the pandemic and unemployment and high anxiety levels, whether or not kids are going to go back to school, what do you see right now as the mental health state of affairs in southeastern Wisconsin? What are you seeing?
Well, first, it's a pleasure to be here on your program, Joe. Thank you very much for the opportunity. Mm-hmm. And it's a pretty grim situation right now for Southeast Wisconsin, for anywhere, with mm-hmm. respect to being under the COVID umbrella. And I think the situation in itself is causing people to experience something they have never experienced before.
Right.
So if you look at mental health and mental health awareness, it is a disease. It's a disease of the brain, and it's genetic, and it's passed from throughout the family, possibly. But it generally takes some type of environmental issue, trauma, stress that may bring the mental illness to the forefront. Mm-hmm. And so I think we're seeing now with what we are experiencing on a day-to-day situation, it's kind of the perfect storm.
Okay.
And I know with NAMI, I mean, we've been in existence here since 83. We're all volunteer, and we attempt to improve the quality of life for people living with mental illness through education, support, and advocacy. Mm-hmm. But in our current environment, I mean, it's very difficult to do some of the things that we normally do on a regular basis.
Right.
And I think everybody has been aware, possibly used, the whole Zoom concept and the impact of social media. And it is a viable way to make some of these connections. Mm-hmm. But many times it's kind of the one-on-one or the group session where you get the dynamics of the different people in the group. So COVID, like any other organization, it's had a big impact. I think in Southeast Wisconsin, specifically in Kenosha, I think we are making some progress in the area of mental health. And I think we are doing this over the last couple of years. And it goes back, I think, to 2016, 2017, where through a great effort by the city and the county, we've opened the Crisis Prevention Center there on 60th Street. And this has been a very, very positive transition for people living with a mental illness. And I think now here recently, the Kenosha Human Development Services has moved from the old roller rink, if you may, mm-hmm. down to a new facility on 52nd Street, directly behind north of the ESC. So okay. I think we're trying to expand within the community And I think that's these different players kind of pulling on the line together. Mm-hmm. But I mean, we've got a long way to go. I mean, you can see the rise in the suicide. You can see the rise in the drug addiction. And it's a very serious matter. And we have to continue to do what we're trying to do. And I think we will do that. And I mean, we're an all volunteer organization. We reach out. Some of the things that we normally do, the you know, biweekly support sessions we can't do. We're trying to team up a little bit with NAMI Racine to get a kind of a virtual Zoom support session going for not only adults but also adolescents. Mm-hmm. And so we need to continue to do this. But in saying that, there are many things that we normally would have done right now that we're not doing. And some of those, three of our main programs, are family to family. We tried to start that out at the County Center building in February. We got through, I think, three sessions, and then we had to shut it down. And so I think on the positive side, Janet DeLeo, who she and Chris Cohen ran that session, they've made an effort to keep in contact with nine of these people. So we are really looking at right now of trying to get a Zoom type meeting session together with these nine people. And because many times, as you know, it's the contact, it's taking the call, it's listen to the request, it's hearing the stories, and then we're all different. And so we have to do our best to respond to the situation that's presented to us. So we're trying to do that. I should also mention our crisis intervention partner training. This is the 2-day session, and the whole purpose is to give people a better toolkit to deal with people in crisis with mental health issues. And so this is open to anybody. There is no charge for it. It's a 2-day session, and we were fortunate enough to complete a session in March. I think it was March 10th and 11th. And with the number of people that completed that, I mean, we're up over 1,000, or at 1,015 people that have completed that training. But now as you fast forward to where we are now, right now, that next training was supposed to take place in October, and at this point, it's canceled. So this has been a huge impact right now as we try to modify, adjust, be flexible. We're looking at some of our main speakers for our crisis intervention partner training, and see if we can set up a kind of a video of some of their presentations and post it in conjunction with our website or on Facebook. Mm-hmm. And have these available as vignettes from Crisis Intervention Partner. So this is some of the stuff that we're trying to do, because I think the requirement for mental health assistance and treatment will only continue to increase as we go forward. And I feel like I'm rambling here. I don't want to go on. No. I mean, if you have questions, but please stop me.
No, that's wonderful. How do people sign up? I mean, I would sign up tomorrow to be a crisis intervention partner. How can you sign up? Or putting vignettes on Facebook would be terrific. Could you use the TV educational channel or the school district channel and do your training on one of those and then advertise it so as many people as possible could tune in?
We may be able to do that. I think that that would be a good discussion for another day. Yeah, I think that that's a great suggestion. So I think too, for all your viewers, you really need to check our website, namikenosha.org.
Okay.
namikenosha.org.
Okay. Everybody got that? namikenosha.org. Go check it out.
Yeah, excellent. All lowercase. And Chris Cohn, who's one of our members, has just done a dynamite job. She's the person driving a train on this website. And it's probably one of the best in the state.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, it's a good, it's a real good product. So it's www.namikenosha.org. So check it out. But okay, we have online registration generally. And I think the registration part is the easy part. And I think, you know, to get a venue, to get the arrangements made between the, we'd probably have about three speakers that we would want to, mm-hmm, to video and, you know, set up an arrangement to do this. But the widest distribution that we could get, mm-hmm, would be the best, really. You know, really keep it simple on how to get a hold of it, you know, how to view it.
Sure.
But I think that could go a long way. So that's a great suggestion, Joe. Thank you very much about possibly using the TV channel or the education channel.
What advice or what help is there for senior citizens? It just seems like, you know, from a senior citizen standpoint, we're almost a lost or forgotten entity. I mean, you can't even go to church. So do you see a rise in issues for senior citizens across the board, especially with the pandemic?
Oh, I think yes. I mean, especially with the senior citizens that are living with a serious medical condition.
Mm-hmm.
And we're finding it, I mean, that can be isolating in itself, but it's just becoming more and more isolating. Talking to friends that they may have had their last face-to-face conversation with their mom.
Right.
Seriously. I mean, mom,
right,
is still alive. She's being taken care of. She has serious dementia.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, you could take and hold your name in front of you and be on the other side of the glass window, and she probably won't even know who you are.
Yeah.
And I lost my mom to dementia, and it's just not a, it's not a good situation. And I think everybody is aware of that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think people are trying to give them care, but I think they're becoming more and more isolated. Because one thing with that, if I may go back a little bit, Meals on Wheels, okay? Great, mm-hmm, program. Go sure, around.
Sure.
And I think that Meals on Wheels and the relationships that were developed between the delivery person and the person receiving the meal was huge.
Yeah.
I mean, that contact and that delivery person could probably pick up something that was occurring with that individual and sometimes could be a source of, hey, I think we need to get some help for John Smith. John Smith is not doing very well. So that can be a source of seeking some assistance. I think the you know, programs like Silver Sneakers, I mean, that's a huge program.
Sure.
And there for so long, the Y was closed. And now they're starting to open up again. But that's a huge venue for the socialization, plus the overall wellness for our senior citizens.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it works. It really does. So
you could always count on going to church on Sunday or Saturday night, and right. it's a community.
Right.
And whatever religious faith or belief you have, it's connecting with friends, with people you know, saying hello. And all that's been taken away, especially if you're a senior citizen, because in our case, we're told you're over 65, don't come.
And yeah, so, true. I think that goes from church to church. And to share with you, my wife Sue and I are members of St. Paul's Lutheran Church.
Okay.
For a lot of years. And yes, we attended many Zoom services. Mm-hmm. It was part of the deal Sunday morning. You know, you'd get in front of the computer 9 o'clock, and you know, you could watch any time you want, but we usually go to 9 o'clock service.
Sure.
So we would go do that. And then I think about 3 weeks ago, they started a in your car service in the parking lot.
Okay.
So you had the minister, Pastor Cindy, God bless her. She's mm-hmm. been a real, real assist for St. Paul's Lutheran. And she would be in a up on one end in a scaffolding, and then it was very well organized and with the volunteers, and you'd come in and they just park you by lane. And then if you wanted to get out and sit outside, you had to wear a mask, and you put your chairs right next to the driver's side.
Okay.
So the way the lanes were set up, you had the social distancing. If you wanted to sit in the car, you could sit in the car. And so that was extremely effective. It was also, we went with the link that we had used for strictly, you know, the Zoom service. And so you could hear it in your car, or you could hear it just listening to the speaker on the outside, okay? Mm-hmm. So that was very successful. And then last Sunday, we had our congregational meeting, and they had chairs, socially distanced, mask required, and we had our meeting. And it really, I mean, it was pretty special. And it kind of brought people together. And I think another very special thing that we learned from this is that one of the senior citizens, Mr. Richard Arliss,
okay,
took it upon himself to call. He would call. Initially, it was senior citizens. But he would call everybody once a week just mm-hmm. to check in. So that provided the communication, although it was via telephone, but that some of these folks were missing. So I think there are ways to attend service on Sunday. And I think, I don't know how long this is going to last, but mm-hmm. I think it's a way of communicating with the congregation. Mm-hmm. And it works. At least it works for our, you know, I mean, you got to have the numbers, you got to have a place to park the cars, and et cetera, et cetera. But I think, I don't know, it's a pretty creative idea.
I think that's a great idea, because I think it's so important. And what you don't want to do, I don't know if you would agree, is isolate people during this time.
No.
You worry about everybody being in silos and not connecting. So that's excellent. I mean, I'll take that idea to our church and see if somebody will listen.
Sure.
What about children? What advice would you have for parents who have kids who are anxious, they want to be back at school, but they can't be, or maybe they can? Does NAMI, I'm sure you do, what does NAMI, what kind of advice for parents with children?
You know, I mean, each family is different. Each Each child is different. I think to share with you another story, our son and his wife live in Washington, D.C. They have a 4-year-old and a 2-year-old.
Wow, we're a lot alike. My son, our son lives in Washington, Arlington, Virginia.
Yeah.
Got a 11-year-old and a 6-year-old. So yeah, but go ahead.
There you go. So Liliana is 4 and Daphne is 2. So they have been home. I mean, they both work from, they can work from their house for both their jobs.
Sure.
And, but that has been truly an experience because the children have always been involved in some type of schooling, a very excellent daycare, you know, during, since they've been born.
Sure.
And so they even a 2-year-old, I mean, they would go to this, you'd go into their little school, and all these little kids would sit down around a table and have breakfast. I mean, it was incredible to see.
Right.
So they have had that structure. And then now, so you put the 4 of them in the house, and sometimes it's almost chaos, if you know what I mean.
Our son says the same thing, yeah.
And so the thing now is that, okay, we've gone through the summer, and now we're coming on to the school year. So pretty soon they're gonna start. So what they have done is they have taken one of the girls' bedrooms, and that's gonna be like the learning center, if you may. And so hopefully it's gonna work good or work well, but you know, you just don't know. And the thing that really amazes me with all the quest, and let's just talk here, Kenosha, KUSD.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think you can put a kindergartner in the same bucket as you can put a high school student.
That's correct.
And it's, you got to teach or try to teach the children, not individually, but there are like 3 different levels. I mean, real basic. And nobody seems to approach that. I don't know. It's a very difficult thing. But for the children, NAMI National has put out some things. So I would recommend go to NAMI.org. NAMI National in their headquartered in Arlington. They've okay. got some programs, at least for parents to kind of look at, because it's going to be a very challenging time, very challenging time. And I think another thing with respect to schools, I think we're seeing the rise of domestic abuse, you know, with spouse, kids, and sometimes that would show in a school setting, but now the kids aren't going to school.
Right.
And so it really is tough. And I sit on the screening committee for Families First, and we'll have probably 10, 12 kids that we'll screen tomorrow at 10:30. So you look at some of the environments that these kids are growing up in, and it's really extremely difficult. And so I think for our community, if kids need some help, I think the Families First is a great program.
Mm-hmm.
And it gets its funding stream from Medicaid. And a while back, we have Comprehensive Community Services. It's a program under KIDS, Kenosha Human Development Services. And so, I don't know, right now, what we did, I don't know, 3 or 4 years ago, whatever, we did a regional thing between Racine and Kenosha, and we got some additional funding from the state. And so that has allowed us to take care of our children.
Right.
Children hadn't been in the program before, but now they are in the program. And there's a huge number of kids that are in this program. Mm. And it's help for the children, but in many cases it's help for the parents. And so it's extremely important. And to get into this program, you know, I mean, it could come from the family. It could come from the schools. It, you know, I mean, if the kids get in trouble, it could come from the you know, the law enforcement side.
Sure.
But at least it's something that we as a community can try to help out our children that are living in their respective environment. Some are good, some are bad. And afford them some help, and not only that, but afford their parents or the people that are taking care of them, whether it's aunt, uncle, grandma, grandpa, whomever. And so I think that's a positive thing for our community, Joe. It can be. That can help.
An article, a whole section in the Chicago Tribune Sunday paper last week, back to school section.
Yeah.
It was a Catherine Main, an educational psychology professor in the University of Illinois. And yeah, this is what she had to say. What matters most is figuring out what is going to be the thing that's going to keep our family calm, consistent, predictable, and experiencing the least amount of stress. Kids do best when they know what's coming. Children are pretty resilient as long as they have really caring adults around them. Ensuring that kids have nurturing, consistent, and calm adults looking after them. So that is key. I have a good friend who's a co-principal of a charter school in Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
Statesman College Prep School, grades 4, 5, 6. Each teacher is assigned 5 students, and they call those students every other day to check on them. Each student has an accountability partner. It's another student that checks on them, just gives them a call or an email or a message on their iPad every day. Each teacher, employee, same thing, an accountability partner. Somebody that checks on them to be sure that they're okay.
Yeah.
Like what you were talking, Meals on Wheels, that connecting, you know, it's like the Postal Service. We look forward to the mail in the mailbox, and when it isn't there, it's disconcerting. Like, what happened? When's it going to come? Because it's predictable. It's something you can expect. So they also have a series of peace breaths. We use this with peace learning circles. Mm-hmm. And ironically, the Wisconsin Badgers use it. Whenever the Badgers offensive team goes into a huddle, they do the 4, 5, 6. You breathe in for 4, you hold it for 5, and you let it go for 6. So the Badgers have almost no offsides penalties or motion penalties because they're focused before they get to the line of scrimmage. They've tuned out 80,000 people. Yeah. And all the distractions, all the noise. So they also do the eagle. Kids do the eagle where you stretch out. I don't know if you guys, you know, do yoga as part of your repertoire. Stretching out with your arms as far as they can go,
yep,
breathing in for 4, holding it for 5, and giving yourself a hug for 6. So there's a book out there, The 5 Love Languages. Have you heard about that? Or
no, I have not, but very familiar with yoga.
Okay. So the 5 love languages: quality time, unlimited attention, parents putting down their cell phones and looking at their kids and listening to them, acts of service, like you guys are doing, yeah, words of affirmation, somebody saying, giving you a compliment, hey, you're doing well, hang in there, physical touch or movement, and then giving yourself a small gift. Have you been down to the Kenosha Harbor? Have you been? Yeah, I've seen you there. You're walking around the harbor.
Yes.
It's drop dead gorgeous. It's beautiful.
You can't beat it.
No. If you were in Chicago, you'd have to pay for something like that.
No, the people from Illinois just come to Kenosha.
Yes, they do. By the droves. So sometimes, Jack, there's a stigma. People put on a good front, but they're experiencing a lot of pain inside. They're good at hiding it.
Right.
So can you go to your doctor and say, you know, hey, doc, I'm feeling over anxious or I'm feeling depressed. I don't necessarily want medication, but is that a place where people can go? Or how can you advertise the great work that you guys are doing? Can you run a sidebar on TV? I was talking to, we're ideas collectors. That's what our Peace Learning Circles is. We collect ideas. We write them down on post-it notes. So to me, instead of tuning in to the news channels, which can just depress the most solid person out there, there ought to be comedy channels that show nothing but comedies all day long. I mean, if there wasn't a stigma to it, I'd watch cartoons instead of CNN, you know?
Right.
Yeah, so what do you think? Personally,
I think, and I mean, let's talk about mental illness just for a moment. And as a parent of two adult children who have lived with a mental illness, and not a psychiatrist or a psychologist, but I think a couple things. We're all different. You know, one size doesn't fit all.
Sure.
And I think when you talk about mental illness treatment, I personally believe there are three parts. That there is a medical side of sorts.
Mm-hmm.
There is talk therapy, which can be very effective, one-on-one, you know, and that a lot. That has to do with the relationship that is set up between the two people that are talking.
Right.
But the third one, and I'm really a strong proponent of this, and that is your overall general wellness. And your overall general wellness is established by what you eat.
Mm-hmm.
How you take care of yourself and how you live day to day. And I think, and even Dr. David Mace, he's a noted psychiatrist. He used to run Mendota. He has been one of our keynote speakers. And let's just talk about depression. And depression, you can take an antidepressant. Right. And, you know, the whole thing with therapy, yes, that can be helpful. But he states that, you know, 15 minutes of exercise for some people can be as effective as an antidepressant drug.
Mm-hmm.
Fact. Okay. So I think if people can really get into this overall wellness piece, I think it can be very effective. We have three different programs that we have established here at NAMI Kenosha. You go back probably, I don't know, 2010, and it started at a support group at the Bridge Community Center. And they started a walking program, okay? Mm-hmm. And so initially, Bridges is down on 7th, I don't know, between what, 8th and 57th.
Sure.
Storefront. And so they said, okay, let's walk to the library downtown. So from some, and this is like six people, seven people maybe. And so some of the people said, well, why do we walk? Let's take a car. Let's drive over to the library.
Right.
But once you get through that and you get people walking, and that program, you fast forward to 2020. To date, now we have a program that's documented 30 sessions of walking. You get a certificate. You take the certificate out to Rogan's Shoe Store. Chuck Gustafson, who is the manager, will fit. He personally fits everybody with the new pair of shoes that is qualified, okay?
Wow, that's awesome.
And so we've had probably 100 pairs of shoes that we've purchased. And it's really neat. And to show what COVID has done, they normally start their walking in March, April timeframe. Well, COVID kind of shot that down because Bridges was closed for a while. So anyhow, they started walking about 2 weeks ago, Monday, I think. So now we're going to say, okay, 15 sessions, document it, get your certificate, and go get your pair of shoes. So, I mean, that's a very basic thing, walking, and what that can do to help change the mindset. We also have a NAMI YMCA program that, again, started back, I don't know, maybe 2016, where you had a caseworker that took four or five of their clients to the Y. Mm-hmm. They would stay together. They would go do a lap. They would shoot hoops. They would go to the pool, okay? So that program has grown. Right now, we have about, I think, 455 people that are in that program. We've had no incidents, and now they can go individually. So the Y is right on a bus line. If they need a bus token, we'll get them a bus token. Mm-hmm. But that is another means that we can use, that people living with a mental illness can use, that really helps their recovery and it helps their independence. And so, I don't know, the Y is reopening again. It's, you know, COVID cautioned and et cetera, et cetera. But right. I think that's very important. And the third one here is we've had our Write About Rewards. And this has been since, this is the third year of it. And it initially started as bicycles are important. They're good for transportation. They are also good for physical exercise. Right. So it was kind of a collaborative effort here in the city, and initially between the police department and Ralph Rufflow over at Southport Rigging helped it, and the University of Parkside Police Department. And so what we've done, we got, I don't know, 10 bikes, and we got some from the police. I mean, they usually pick up bikes. And so Ralph fixed them up, rehabbed them. We got a lock, a light set, and a helmet. And so there was a drawing of sorts where people could try to get a bike. They got a bike. We put the bike and the person together, and that's been extremely effective. We just finished up our third round. We got 10 more bicycles this year, and now, so we've had probably 30 bikes. And it's another, but my whole point here is just the importance of physical fitness and overall wellness. Because I think everybody knows people living with a mental illness probably have a lifespan 25 years shorter. There's a lot of comorbidity related to it, as well as diabetes. You have a tendency to gain weight depending upon what medication you may be taking. So the better you can take care of yourself, the better off you're going to be. And I think, excuse me, I think this, we talked earlier about senior citizens. I think this is important for senior citizens too. Mm-hmm. It really is. So That's my case.
Well, you've been wonderful. I think we have about 3 or 4 minutes left. Thank you for the NAMI.org, NAMIKenosha.org. Can you repeat the connections for people?
Sure. It's NAMIKenosha.org. It's all lowercase. And our number is 262-652-3606.
Okay.
It's a call, you know, I mean, it's a you leave a message, but we check that phone line multiple times a day, and then they receive a direct call. Whoever
can you
leaves
say it again, 262-652?
3606.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Jack. One last thing you'd like to leave with our listeners, and this is Joe Manji and Jack Rose and Troy McDonald for Gateway Radio, WGTD, HD 91.1. And Jack, thank you. It's amazing. I mean, for 20 years, you've been doing this. This is amazing.
It's our passion.
And just looking at you at Zoom, you look like you're 33, you know, but I know you're not, because you stopped by Bradford High School one time and you gave me part of the track that I still have from the 1996 Olympics in Atlanta.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I treasure that. I still have it. So last thing you'd like to share with all of our listeners.
Yes, I think it's extremely important that people living with a mental illness, you know, we continually fight the stigma. There is no cure, there is recovery. But the final point is that people living with mental illness, you are not alone. Reach out, and we will do our best to help you, okay?
Jack, thank you so much.
You've been listening to Education Matters, heard each Saturday morning at 10:30 on WGTD-HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. Archived programs are available on our website, WGTD.org, and you're invited to continue the discussion on the Education Matters Facebook page. Support comes from Kenosha Harbor Market, featuring Ebert's and Company, offering mixes for salsas, barbecue sauce, a variety of dips, sauces, gravies, snack seasonings, and drinks. The market is open Saturdays from 9 until 2 on 2nd Avenue in Plaza Douay. This is WGTD-HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. You're listening to Community Matters, a program that explores and highlights various local issues and organizations. It's co-hosted by Len Iaquinta, a nonprofit manager, fundraiser, and consultant, Laura Sumner Kuhn, a former journalist with the Racine Journal-Times, who currently serves as an adjunct instructor at UW-Parkside, and Jane Herring, a former marketing manager at Gateway Technical College. Community Matters shares its time slot with the WGTD Radio Theater. And now, here's today's program.
Good morning. This is Len Iaquinta for Community Matters, and our topic this morning is alternative online news media in Southeast Wisconsin. My guests today are Denise Lockwood, the CEO of Racine County Eye, whose tagline and brand promise are local news, honest conversation. Her eye is online at racinecountyeye.com. Also with me is Darren Hillock, founder of West of the Eye, which identifies as Western Kenosha County's news source. Darren and his wife Karen Hillock run this news outlet. He is a veteran community journalist. She handles marketing and essential business functions. Their online news is at westoftheeye.com. Good morning, Denise and Darren.
Good morning. Good morning.
All right. Good to have you with us. Now, going into alternative online journalism is not a thing to be done lightly. It takes a lot of time and some money and a great deal of sacrifice. I want to start with you, Denise. Why do you think your alternative online news platform is important to the citizens here in Southeast Wisconsin?
Well, with journalism in the state it is right now, there's a lot of pressure for corporate-owned news organizations to not have a lot of what I call meat and potato journalism. And so one of the things that I've always